Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers running the race of life need to tell the truth if they want to win. Lying violates prime directive number 9 in the Bible, and losing that lying tongue is where we're headed on today's broadcast. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer takes us to the 9th of the 10 Commandments as he brings a message on to tell the truth.
I think it was Diogenes who made himself very unwelcome in Athens by going through the city in the middle of the day with a lantern, which he shone in the faces of people, looking for an honest man. People probably thought he was a little bit loony. In the 20th century, we would say that perhaps his dipstick didn't touch the oil. But maybe he had a point. Because basically, you and I are dishonest. We are born with a bent toward deception. All of us are. In order to protect our reputation or to get money or for one reason or another, usually to make ourselves look good, we break the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. I've never yet met a person who has told me that he hasn't told a lie. I can imagine somebody might do that today, and if they do, I'll simply say it's one more to write down in their ledger, right? Never forget when I was about 10, those of you who are in that age bracket, listen carefully. I was brought up on a farm and my father came to me one day. It was my responsibility to feed the chickens at 5 o'clock every afternoon. I walked into the garage, he asked me whether or not I had fed the chickens. It was somewhat after five. Oh, I knew I had not done it with any degree of regularity, and so I lied. I said, yes, I had. My father believed me. He believed me. 10 or 15 minutes later, I left the garage and I went and I got that bucket full of wheat and I went and fed the chickens. I remember how good it felt. You know, usually we talk about guilt associated with sin. Well, I don't remember guilt. I just knew it felt so good because I had lied, I had gotten away with it, the chickens were fed. Nobody had incurred any harm as a result of it, and I remember to this day thinking to myself, all summer I'm going to do things this way. If I'm asked, I'm going to make myself look good, I'm going to lie, and then I'm going to do it later. So about a week later, I was asked again, did you feed the chickens? I said, yes. Well, of course, I didn't leave immediately to go do what I had forgotten to do. That would look too obvious. I waited about 10 or 15 minutes, and then I went and I did it. But guess what? I was seen feeding the chickens. Now, if you 10-year-olds are still with me, you have to understand that I belong to another generation. When my parents found things like that out, they applied the Board of Education to the seat of learning. That was in another generation, you understand. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness, and God is a God of truth, and he is interested in us being people of truth. Now, when that commandment was given, thou shalt not bear false witness, it actually referred to perjury, that is to say, a false witness at a court of law. But I want you to turn with me today to the 6th chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, where it's very interesting. There are two different kinds of lying that are spoken about, that which would take place in a court of law and that which takes place in normal conversation, and God says he hates both. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Here they are. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among his brothers. Did you notice that lying is mentioned twice? Verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Verse 19, a false witness who utters lies. Verse 19 is talking about going to court and you have bear a false witness in the presence of someone. And verse 17 is talking about the person who lies in casual conversation. God says, I hate lying. I hate lying. Now, what I'd like to do today is to give you three ways that we can break that commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Three different ways that we can do it. First of all, we can break the commandment by what we say. By what we say. Here I'm thinking, of course, about actual lies. We're in a situation where a lie looks good or would make us look good, and so we go ahead and do it like that proverbial schoolboy who said that a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of trouble. So we're in difficulty, and what do? We lie. We're filling out an application for a job, and we tell a lie to make ourselves look good. God sees it. God hates it. Back in the good old days when I was teaching at Moody Bible Institute and I would teach ethics, the students always used to ask me this question. They'd say, is it ever right to lie? Then they'd give this illustration. Suppose that you were a person who was hiding missionaries and the communists, it was always communists, I don't know why, but the communists come to the door and they point a gun at you and they say, tell us where the missionaries are. Now the question is, would you lie and say you don't know, or would you tell the truth? Would you say what you do is you go up the stairs and then just to the left, there's a closet there, two of them are in there, and then you go to the other side and we have some hiding in another room off the den. What would you do? Well, my response, you know, used to be, I don't know, first of all, what I would do if I would have a gun pointed in my head, at my head. I have never yet had that happen. And I realized that statistically that was supposed to happen last July. But anyway, I do know this, that if I were to tell a lie, I believe that I would have sinned even if I lied under those conditions. Because whenever you tell a lie, you are actually indicating a lack of faith. You say, well, wouldn't it be better to lie than to have missionaries dead? Don't you realize that even if I were to tell the truth and those missionaries were killed by the communists, I would not be responsible for the death of those missionaries? The communists would be. We don't believe that God would be thrown off base if somebody happened to tell the truth. Can you just imagine God in heaven wringing his hands and saying, oh, good night. I intended that those missionaries live another 10 years. And now look at what Lutzer did. He told the truth. What are we going to do? Of course, God can keep people alive as long as he wants, even if we tell the truth. God hates lying. One of the ways that we can break this commandment is by what we say. And here I'm talking about lying. I'm talking about exaggeration. Where somebody says, you know, my wife is never on time. That's probably not true. Think back many years ago when you were going to take her shopping. And you promised her a new dress. Or a wife who says, my husband never picks up his clothes. Watch it. Watch it. Think back when you received an unexpected knock on the door on an early Saturday morning, and he picked up his clothes. So don't say he never, never picks up his clothes. That's exaggeration. And of course, under this, I could pit people who brag, people who toot their own horn. Don't you wish that sometimes when you met people like that, you'd have the courage to tell them, remind them of the fact that it's not the whistle that pulls the train? I think we've all had those temptations. Exaggeration, distortion, where we say something by innuendo. You know, there was a man on a ship, a mate, who didn't get drunk very often, but one day he did, and the captain wrote in the logbook, the mate got drunk today. The mate said, take that out. Captain said, no, he wrote it down. So the next day, the mate was keeping the logbook, and he decided to write in it, the captain is sober today. Well, he was telling the truth. But you do get the implication. And then slander. Slander, that's when you demean the reputation of other people by what you say, whether you are telling a falsehood because of the lack of investigation in the matter, or whether you are even telling the truth. Listen, you can tell the truth and be guilty of slander. If you're telling the truth to people who are not part of the problem nor part of the solution, and what you are doing it for is to simply demean the reputation of some believer in their eyes, that is slander. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, very interesting sidelight as to what God says about slander. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what it says regarding the wives of deacons. Deacons, take note, share this passage with your wives if it applies. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, women, probably the wives of the deacons, though it may also refer to deaconesses. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. That's a pretty good translation. But do you know what the Greek says? Not diabolos. That's what it says. Not devils. It's the word for devil that is used 40 times in the New Testament. It says, women should not be slanderers. That's the meaning of the word diabolos. And so what he's saying is don't be slandering, because when you slander somebody, you are doing Satan's work. He is a slanderer, and that's the meaning of the word devil.
Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Luther, and I certainly don't want to give the impression that this applies only to women. To slander someone, to slander another believer especially, is a serious sin. And I see this being done on the internet as one Christian after another, back and forth with big headlines, oftentimes, in my opinion, engages in slander, a great sin. I want to thank the many of you who support this ministry. As a matter of fact, I have in my hands a letter from someone who listens to Running to Win in Spanish in Colombia. This person says, every day I fall more and more in love with the Lord through your teaching. I share that with you because that testimony not only belongs to us, but it belongs to you, those of you who have invested in this ministry. And the good news is that during the month of August, any gift that you give will be doubled. Imagine what that means. That means that you have the opportunity to make an investment which will be doubled, and I can assure you it will be used well to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. You are our partners. You are a part of the family of God, the family of Running to Win. Would you pray about joining us? And we thank you in advance for your prayers, for your generosity, because the gospel of Jesus Christ through Running to Win continues around the world.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of To Tell the Truth, another message on the Ten Commandments. Next time, more on how devious we can be in our dishonesty and how desperately we need to avail ourselves of the grace of God. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.